Satisfied, indeed, The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Translation, the Supreme Personality of God is situated as the Super Soul within the cores of the hearts of all living entities, whether moving or non-moving, including men, birds, animals, trees, and indeed all living entities. Therefore, you should consider everybody a residence or temple of the Lord. By such vision, you will satisfy the Lord. You should not angrily kill these living entities in the form of trees. Purport, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita and confirmed by all the Vedic scriptures, Ishvara, Sarva Bhutanam Hridayesha Arjuna Tishtati, the Super Soul is situated within everyone's heart. And therefore, since everybody's body is the residence of the Supreme Lord, one should not destroy the body because of unnecessary envy. That will dissatisfy the Super Soul. Soma told the Prachetas that because they had tried to satisfy the Super Soul, now they should not displease him. Translation, the Supreme Personality of God is situated as the Super Soul within the cores, the hearts of all living entities, whether moving or non-moving, including men, birds, animals, trees, and indeed all living entities. Therefore, you should consider everybody a residence or a temple of the Lord. By such vision, you will satisfy the Lord. You shall angrily kill these living entities in the form of trees. So this is one way of preaching non-violence, because the Lord is situated in everyone. Therefore, body of the living entity is like a temple or a residence of the Lord. So you should not kill that body, which is like the temple, or destroy the temple of the Lord, which is a good argument to give if you accept the fact that the Lord is within all of the material bodies. Of course, the Prachetas accept this because they are very knowledgeable of scriptures, and they accept the existence of the Supreme Lord, and they even did meditation and tapasya for many, many years, and got the blessings of Lord Shiva, etc. So they are devotees of the Lord, so they can accept this type of principle also. We do find, of course, that sometimes Krishna also preaches the opposite. He tells Arjuna, and you kill all these enemies, you kill all these people, because anyway they don't die. They're living entities, and living entities don't die. So we can always give some sort of argument, even a scriptural argument, based on Atma or Super Soul, for either violence or non-violence, depending on what we want to accomplish. So such arguments are valid up to a certain degree. This argument also is there up to a certain degree. But then if we carry it to an extreme, that says we cannot kill anything. We cannot kill any plants at all. So that means you starve to death, because you cannot eat anything. If we're going to say that the living entity is the body, the grass is the body of the Lord, and the wheat and the rice are the body of the Lord, so therefore you can't kill them. Don't touch them. Similarly, the vegetables are all bodies of the Lord, so you cannot even cut them down and whatever. So in this way, we don't have any food at all. No, the only defense we would have is, we can eat the fruits of the tree because we don't kill the tree. And maybe tomatoes and eggplants. So some things we could become a vegetarian or a fruitarian with no grains. So in this way, the arguments in one sense are good up to a certain point, but carried to an extreme they also fail. And the same way, if we give the argument that because the souls don't die, therefore you can kill. So therefore you can kill anybody you want, it doesn't matter, because they're eternal and they don't die. But that's not true, because we have laws of dharma that say in normal cases you don't kill people. But you do kill when there's necessity, and then dharma gives necessity. You kill a person if he attacks you, if he sets fire to your house, if he steals from you, etc., then you can attack him. So, if there's no good reason, then you cannot kill another person. So, there's a limitation on all these principles that we have, whether it is, concerning Super Soul or Ama, etc., and kill or don't kill, etc. So, we have to take everything into consideration when we see these type of rules. So, yes, up to a certain degree they are good to follow, but we cannot take any rule to an extreme. We have to know the conditions under which it is preached. So that also goes for the rules of Dharma themselves. They also have a scope. And the scope of those rules is they're meant for living entities to control their senses. But different living entities have different levels of control, and therefore there's different rules for different types of people. So for people in the lower modes, the rule is worship devatas, because you should worship someone. But you can worship devatas because you get worship the devata and you get some material benefit. And they need material benefits, otherwise they won't have any faith at all. So worship the devatas is prescribed. And if one comes to sattva good, one is detached from material enjoyment. So therefore, you can worship the devata, but don't ask for anything. Or better still, you simply worship Vishnu. So for different types of people, different rules are given according to their mode. And, as I said, generally these rules are for restriction. If you worship, that means you have to sacrifice some of your own enjoyment. So we have various rules of limiting the senses for the different modes and different varnas and different ashrams. But all those rules, they function on a certain level. But as Krishna says at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Sarvadharma Parichaja, give up all the rules and surrender unto me. So by that he doesn't suggest that therefore we should break all the rules and not have any sense control. Rather, his intention is that the main object is not these rules itself, but the final rule after sense control is surrender to the Lord. So yes, sense control is good, but that's not the ultimate goal of everything. So therefore these rules of Dharma are not the conclusion. They're only one step to come to sattva gun. That's all. Then after that you have to do other things. So therefore, we give up those dharmas. So, we could argue, well, let's do jnana instead of bhakti, because jnana also is the next stage after karma yoga. So we come to sattva gun and we do karma yoga, and then we have another set of rules for controlling the senses, much more strict than the people in the lower modes. And here we have the idea, you're not the body at all, so become detached from all material enjoyment, renounce everything, understand you are Atma. Atma is completely different from the material body. So you start restricting your needs, material needs more. So that is the position of jnana. And of course the ultimate goal there is liberation from the material body, which is an upadi. It is a false designation. So we should give up that identity completely, and when we do so, then we get moksha, liberation from the material world. So that's another level. However, in bhakti we said, give up that also. Why? It's because the dharma of jnana, that particular practice, jnana yoga, ultimately leads to liberation which is unfavorable for surrender to the Lord. So therefore we also give that up, even though it is superior to karma yoga. So in this way, the one set of rules will supersede the next, the lower rule, and then finally we get to the top rule and everything else is secondary to that and we get rejected. So therefore, though the rules in one system look very nice in themselves, if they're not the bhakti rules, then they're not absolute. So the dharmic rules are there, they're okay, but they're not absolute. And higher than that is jnana. So from that position, Krishna preaches to Arjuna in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, oh yes, you shouldn't be lamenting because of having to kill people, because you're not the body. Nobody's a material body. So that is preaching from jnana, as against his arguments of karma, I cannot kill because of this duty and that duty and this is a sin, etc. And then he will be detached from all that and understand you're not the material body. So he preaches from another level. Of course, higher than that is the level of bhakti. So the level of bhakti is not simply that when we're not the material body, you can kill. In bhakti, it is because of Lord desires, I follow the Lord or Lord's will. That's all. So he says, don't fight, and we don't fight. So it's not that you have to fight all the time simply because you're not the material body, and it doesn't matter if you kill. No, it's because the Lord wants Arjuna to fight in a particular circumstance. That's all. And if he says, don't fight, then also that's also okay. So that is a higher rule. The will of the Lord, and following the will of the Lord, is higher than the rule of jnana, which is higher than the rule of karma, which is higher than no rule at all. So we do have sets of rules, and we have higher and higher rules until we get to bhakti. So that is actually the highest set of rules of all. So all the other rules may or may not contradict. If they contradict, we completely reject them. So karma rules that tell us to worship David, as we reject those and avoid those as much as possible. Those which are don't reject, then we can follow those. The rules of jnana, some degree we also follow. Understanding we're not the body, etc. That we follow. Other rules we don't follow. We don't try to go for liberation. So, therefore, this type of preaching here is good at a certain level, but it also has some limitations, so to speak. The same type of argument also can be given, of course. The opposite one could be given also from the level of jnana. It doesn't matter if you kill the trees because they're all atmas and they never die anyway. So kill as many trees as you want. You give that rule also. So this is maybe a little higher rule because there's these paramatmas in there. So this is the body of paramatmas, so therefore don't destroy it. But then, of course, the counter thing is that if you don't destroy anything, we can't even eat. So therefore, we have the decision of the Lord Himself that says, you offer to me, and you take the prasadam. So that rule would follow. So in this way, we have to see all these different rules in relation to the particular circumstance, and understand that they may have some limitation on their use.
It happens usually that the general public, they get attracted when somebody displays some extraordinary power. But when we are teaching about bhakti yoga, none of us, or many of us, does not have that sort of expression of power. So people may not get convinced that bhakti yoga is the real process to get back to the Godhead.
Well, showing powers is not a particularly good way of convincing a person about God. It's an intelligent person, because therefore, who has the power? Prime Minister has the power, so we should worship him as God. The wealthiest person, who's wealthier, Sai Baba, or what is it, the head of the corporation of some company, worship him instead, he's got more money. So simply certain powers are itself and material powers are not a proof of God. Of course, we can say that the Supreme Lord has all material powers. And of course, he has powers beyond anything that a material person can have. Of course, say yogis can create planets also, but the Supreme Lord creates all the universes, and no yogi can do that. But of course, that's hard to prove for people. But we will accept that on the basis of scripture. So if people are looking for material examples, then they're going to fall into a very materialistic mode and worship a materialist. That's all they can do. Because if we're looking for power and this material power, yes, we'll find examples in the material world of either businessmen or whatever, or yogis or whatever. So that is rather low type of proof of Supreme Lord.
But sometimes we see that those, sometimes people who go on to worship personalities who are non-material beings, and they appear to get results also from that.
Non-material. You say non-material?
Results.
Oh, from unauthorized.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
How do we understand that?
Well, of course, all this time from a skeptical point of view, skeptic will say, well, worship authorized or unauthorized, people can testify, but it's not real proof in itself. Just like we have all sorts of cures for all sorts of things, and medical science doesn't accept those as cures, even homeopathy they won't accept, because they don't have any concrete proof of that. So people can say, yes, testimony is there for so many things, but you can look on the internet and find testimony for all crazy things on the internet. That don't work also, probably. It's a scam from somebody. So, some people may worship some authorized form, and they say they get a result. Maybe they do, maybe they don't, we don't know. It could be imaginary result. It could be a placebo result, simply because they want to get well from that particular mode, they get well from that particular thing. So in that sense, it may work or whatever. But nevertheless, as far as we're concerned, we do have to follow what is in scripture rather than things beyond the scripture.
But
he gives faith in certain devatas by the different Puranas. So we have Shiva Purana for Shiva and so many other glorifications of devatas through the scriptures. So the Lord gives them faith through that method. And of course, then they get results also, so that gives them faith also. Well, in the material world, there's bound to be mistakes. Well, even the most perfect person is not perfect because they may make a mistake. So we may respect a person like Gandhi, but he also made mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Political leaders, they may be very good, they make mistakes. So everybody in the material world can make mistakes. The main thing is in devotional services, we're not worried about the material aspect so much. What we are concerned about is the philosophical aspects and the aspects of bhakti, that those are correct. That's all. We don't mind the other mistakes. People can make mistakes in the material world or whatever, on a material thing. Yes, they make mistakes. Of course, if they make too many mistakes in the organizational structure, then we don't want them because it's disturbing. But if a person makes a mistake, that's it's a human. You chant Hare Krishna, that's all. That's fulfilling the will of the Lord, surrender to Him.
Not possible all the time.
Well, we have to become stronger. So, spiritually stronger. Well, to see what is extreme, we'll have to see the results of what a particular action does, that's all. So if we intensify the rule so that you can't kill any animal or any plant, then that's rather extreme, because then you cannot eat a lot of vegetables, you cannot eat a lot of fruit, you cannot eat a lot of things, you cannot eat a lot of grains. What to do? So that's an extreme thing, where we take that as an extreme measure, where we apply it in such a way that every possible, there's no exceptions to that thing, and then it may be very difficult to follow that. Or the opposite. Arjuna is not supposed to, he's supposed to fight because you're not the material body anyway, and nobody dies. So the extreme of that is, okay, we can kill anybody. Because it's true, then nobody dies. So how can it be criminal then? But, of course, we know scripture also has rules to prevent that, and therefore there's rules for when you can kill a person, whatever, and not in other cases.
Surrender and allow, these are the two aspects of Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
Which precedes what?
What?
Surrender precedes love or
which precedes surrender?
Well, they're simultaneous. You cannot, if you're going to surrender without love, it doesn't make any sense. Because why would you surrender? And unless you trust the person, then you have some affection for them, you're not going to surrender. So the two things are together. No. Yeah, so our surrender in the material world is a practice, it's not perfect. So as much as possible, we engage our body, mind, and words in the service of the Lord, that's all. We cannot do it 24 hours because our bodies need some material support.
Thank you.